Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop, acknowledge me!
Things still on? Still on. It's been about 3 weeks. Episode 407 of Top Rope Nation. Our last show was with our friend Jeremy Finestone talking Wrestle Kingdom. And we've been off the air for a while, so we are back here on a Sunday morning, coffee in hand, to talk a little WWE Royal Rumble, maybe a little AEW talk to keep Justin Joint sane this morning. Justin, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a long time. I've been kind of spending this this brief absence, catching up on cinema. Been watching a shit ton of movies. Been playing a lot of Animal Crossing. Lost my ass on some turnips that I spent a lot of bells on. But it's been an interesting month or so.
Yes. Now, Jesse has been keeping the content coming for us, and he's been the MVP of the show lately because he has been putting out Unplugged for our patrons. So there has been pretty much weekly content still dropping on the Patreon side. So thank you, Jesse, for that. How are you doing this morning?
As I've been saying for the last like 3 weeks, I'm all right. We have been off the air so long, Ryan has the most facial hair on this show.
Oh, and I've even trimmed it a few times, but it's starting to come in again. Yeah, I've been letting it go this winter for sure. We haven't really addressed this on the main feed. Jesse, you've talked about it on Unplugged. There's just been a lot going on. I won't bore you guys too much, but essentially, here's what's been happening. Well, I also cover the Chicago Bears. They're on a playoff run, so that took up a lot of my time doing that show, that writing over there. Also, I'm not going to lie to you guys. The state of the world in this country right now is super depressing. And if you're a good person with a brain, it is, I would say. And, obviously nobody here is more impacted by that than Jesse, who is like in the heart of things up in the Twin Cities right now. And I don't want to rant too much on this, but, here's what I'll say. If our government was deporting criminals and drug cartel members, we would be totally in support of that. That is clearly not what is happening. If you think that's what is happening, you're in a cult. That is not what is happening. We don't like what's happening to American citizens in our country right now. I don't like seeing the First, Second, Fourth, Fifth, Eighth Amendment being trampled upon every single day in our country. And it's hard to care about professional wrestling when real life is so in your face right now. So we've been really kind of struggling with wanting to do shows talking about wrestling because the state of the world is so dire right now. And so obviously we stand with the Twin Cities and Jesse and your family and just what your community is dealing with. Again, I would be super supportive of getting criminals out of our country. I'm not supportive of murdering U.S. citizens for exercising their constitutional rights. And I'm not supportive of snatching kids who are not harming their community. So that's kind of where I'm at. It's been really hard to get my mind right just because I love this country and I don't like what's happening right now. So real life has frankly been getting in the way. So that's kind of where I'm at. You guys can chime in if you want before we get to the Rumble.
I mean, I would echo those exact same sentiments. It's been very, very depressing, and it's just hard to get up to talk about wrestling when that is the case. And frankly, I I think wrestling has been in a little bit of a funk, yes. Current wrestling. So they really hasn't been a whole lot much going on to draw us in, but, hopefully we're out of, you know, our little dark period and we can start, rising and grinding again.
Yeah.
I talk about it every day in the month of January since Renee Good was murdered with someone. It's whether it's in Minneapolis or St. Louis Park, and just all of the community rally, I think, behind it has been tremendous. It should never have gotten to this point, and I'll just kind of sum it up this way. Yeah, Ryan nailed it. I would say 5 to 8% of the people you're looking for, you've probably captured, which means there's over 90% of these folks that you're apprehending are innocent people. And it's an absolutely disgusting display of humanity. It's not even humanity. It's just, it's gross.
Well said. Very well said. So yeah, we're going to try to keep our minds distracted by deep diving on pro wrestling again, especially now that, like, as far as I'm concerned, football season's kind of over.
Yep.
I need some things to distract me. And, you know, this is where wrestling and, you know, your hobbies always come in. So if you're right there with us, you know, try to focus in on things that you like and get lost in those. That's what we've done in the past, and that's what we're going to, you know, continue to do here. So we plan on coming at you regular again. Also, another thing that's been going on is I've been sick. If you can't tell, my voice is still not right 2 weeks later. This horrible, I don't know what it is. It's like influenza mixed with like a cold going around, and I'm still kind of stuffy. So my throat was really bad last week, and there was just no way I was going to be doing a podcast. In fact, we were going to do the Bears show, and I canceled it because I could not talk for an hour. So hopefully getting healthy again here. I do want to throw just a special shout out. We did get a new patron during our down period, so we appreciate the faith that you have in us to get back on the horse, because we will. So thank you, Jeremy Orr, for signing up to our Patreon page. If you guys want to support the show and get all of those exclusive bonus shows like Jesse's weekly show, TRN Classics, which will be hitting the air again here pretty soon again, TRN Extra, all of that. There's like 250 bonus shows behind the paywall. $5 gets you access, or you can become a YouTube Plus member, $2.99 a month right here on YouTube. That will get you not all of the bonus shows, but a lot of them and a lot of the archive, and you can watch the video versions there. So just another way to support the show. And you see the names going across the bottom here. We appreciate each and every one of you. You are effectively the producers of Top Rope Nation. All right. Royal Rumble was in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia yesterday afternoon. I did a Bleacher Report watch along during the main event. I know I watched it. I know Justin's aware of what happened. I know Jesse watched it. We had a little group discussion going on in our Discord. Jesse, do you want to grade the show A through F for us? What would be your grade on the 26 Royal Rumble PLE?
Well, when you have zero investment in a product, it makes it a lot more fun to view, if I'm being 100% honest. The only reason I'm dropping this one third of a grade is because of where this took place. If you listen to my show, you know exactly how I feel about Saudi Arabia. And I mean, it's all over the news there too. I am going to go with a C+. I felt there were moments in both Rumbles that were solid. There were moments that stunk. That's par for the WWE's course. Styles and Gunther was a fun match. I would highly recommend, if you do watch World Wrestling Entertainment and missed it, that's the one to go see. And then we'll talk about the world title match later, because I have a nice little point to make on that and just how WWE fans don't pay attention to particular things and they should. So C+ is my grade for yesterday's Royal Rumble.
I'll be a little lower than you, but also kind of in that C range. On BR, I gave it a C. I'm like C to C minus on it. You know, there was nothing I would ever watch on that show again. I can't give it a B. Definitely no match of the years. I can't get contenders. I can't give it an A. I thought, you know, you mentioned it, what was worth watching. I mean, I thought the... Apologies for that. I'm going to get interrupted by the feds. No. The Women's Rumble, I thought, was mostly bad and boring. There was a couple stretches that were entertaining. I thought they probably got the winner right there. The men's rumble had some entertaining moments, but you know, in the end, it was, I thought, like a cop out with the direction they went, the easiest path, and not particularly interesting. I thought Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn was pretty much a total waste. I'm going to read something a friend sent me here about that here in just a minute. And, you know, yeah, Gunther and AJ was clearly the match of the night. And, you know, we can talk about AJ and what might be ahead for him. I'm somewhat interested in where AJ Styles could take his career next, and at least for a few matches. So our friend Jay Schmitz sent me a message this morning that, you know, I know we're all friends and you guys might enjoy this. I'm just going to read what he sent me on the air here. Jay is a patron of the show and a good friend of ours. He said, quote, I won't be able to listen to the pod live this morning, but if anyone left yesterday with any wrestling thoughts other than, oh yeah, Ciampa fucking rules when motivated, I don't know what to say. Sami Zayn sold himself out to once again look like a putz in Saudi Arabia. WWE literally has nothing for me right now. I actually hope AJ Styles is done. I'm not sure where he fits in AEW, but at some point, New Japan is just going to have to basically be a third AEW show and share talent. I'd be more excited about how they presented Hobbs if I wasn't aware that their long-term marketing will never allow him and Femi to be stars at the same time. It's legitimately hilarious to me how all these people left AEW and two of the top stars are still Roman and Orton. Yeah. You get to the end of that rumble, bunch of old guys. I mean, it's just the same. It's the same thing. Let's start with the rumble. All right. Mm-hmm. So I did a prediction video for Briar on Friday, and I predicted Bron Breakker to win because I thought Bron Breakker winning was the right choice. Here's one of their few young guys who you actually, you know, have some momentum behind. You know, he didn't win the world title when he had a chance on Raw, but you can get him right back into the picture, have him win the Royal Rumble, you know, an all-time moment, and then put him on the path to WrestleMania and make a new star. What is he, 28 years old, Jesse? Something like that. Yes, I mean, he's like in his late 20s. They don't really have any stars in their 20s on the men's side right now. So that would be a positive. You also have Obafemi, who I believe should have beat Cody Rhodes when they wrestled on Saturday night's main event. What are you going to lose? And Cody's going to lose nothing by that. So maybe you can put Obafemi over and shock some people. So they put those two out there right away. And Bron Breakker gets eliminated immediately, taking a lot of the intrigue out of the match, I thought. And clearly, you know, they're running this story where he gets attacked by a guy wearing a mask or a hood. And they want you to think it's Seth Rollins because he did all of Seth's moves, did the stomp, did the sidekick, all of that. You know, it could end up being Austin Theory and the Vision splits into factions. What, you know, whatever. But anyways, he gets attacked. He gets thrown into the ring and immediately tossed. So there's the guy that a lot of people thought was going to be in it at the end. And he's immediately eliminated. They give Obafemi a lot of burn. He eliminates a lot of dudes, looks strong, has this face off with Brock Lesnar. The crowd pops for it. And then what happens, Jesse? He gets tossed by Brock Lesnar. And moments later, while Jey Uso is making his entrance, Cody Rhodes and LA Knight dump Brock Lesnar. I mean, I can practically hear Pat Patterson rolling and cussing in his grave from here. If you remember Pat Patterson, he sure liked to cuss a lot. You know, the architect here behind the Rumble, holy Christ, what are you doing? What kind of production values are you doing when you have bring in Brock Lesnar and then his elimination is basically like on the side. The crowd doesn't even really notice. Also, why the frick would you not just have Obafemi eliminate him? You know, Cody and LA Knight dumping him? They're probably going to do something with Oba and Brock. I sure as frick hope they are. But, and by the way, I'm saying frick because my daughter might be counting my cussing next door. but like, you know, do it in the Rumble. It's one of the biggest shows of the year. This is when you have the attention on you. Take it away, Jesse.
All right, you skipped over one of my favorite moments in the Rumble. Rusev at 5 was thrown out in 32 seconds. Rey Mysterio hits a 619 and Oba just choke slams him over the ropes. And the look on his face when he was like amongst the guardrail with the fans there was hysterical. He's like, this isn't what I signed up for. Yeah, it was. So I felt that in spurts, like Obafemi getting close to 40 minutes was a huge positive. I thought Javon Evans looked very good, and he was out there for a long time as well. But other parts where, like, Ilya Dragunov, I think, came in at 17, he was chopping the living life out of Brock Lesnar. Lesnar just no-sells it and chucks him over like a tiny little kid. I didn't really like that presentation either. Miz is in at 23 for like the 18th year in a row or something like that. And he's in there for like 5 or 6 minutes. He interrupts a Oba Brock confrontation too. So, no, I think the Rumble as a whole, and here's the weird, I'll get to that one in a minute, John Hope. The weird thing to me was LA Knight coming out at 21, and at that time, that might have been the biggest pop of the whole match. That guy's still over, in spite of the fact that his booking has been atrocious too. And he's not just getting this response in Saudi, he's getting it pretty much everywhere he goes. I mean, it's just typical Hunter booking. He just goes with who he likes. And then another AEW person, as John Hope mentioned, Rey Fénix, gets tossed within 45 seconds after he jumps off the top ropes, lands in Brock's arms, and he tosses him like a little child. One last one, Aleister Black was flown to Saudi Arabia, was supposed to be in the Rumble, and they held him off because they wanted to bring his return back on a SmackDown instead of a Royal Rumble.
So...
good stuff. It's
just laughable. Okay, so they wanted to save that for SmackDown, but they bring out Mr. Iguana, who you could hear a pin drop. None of these Saudi fans had any clue who any of the AAA guys were. You got to know your audience, you know, like they had no friggin' clue who this guy was. That makes no sense to me. Aleister Black would have made a hell of a lot more sense. You know, I saw here in the chat, yeah, no Finn Balor. They bring out La Parca, you know, who's been around forever. He got a little bit of a response, mostly because he was in WCW probably, but, the crowd overall, I guess we could talk about this too, was pretty mid. I mean, they had some moments where they got into it. There was a lot of empty seats there. It appeared, at least when I was watching. I read that a lot of people were scalping tickets over there and they didn't sell. And that's why there were so many empty chairs. That's going to be a terrible environment for a WrestleMania. I am not looking forward to that at all. I mean, they don't care because they're getting paid up front. And, you know, so the attendance really doesn't matter to them. And I kept thinking how this is perfectly illustrative of the WWE business model right now and how they're sticking it to their longtime fans. And when are people going to smarten up and stop paying? Because here in the States, they are absolutely raping you with ticket prices if you want to go to these shows. And overseas, they don't even care if anybody goes because the murderous government is paying them off for these sports washing shows. And attendance doesn't really matter over there. But over here, attendance does matter, and they're going to make you pay as much as humanly possible to go to the shows. And it's just pretty disgusting, you know, across the board. So, yeah, it was just, a bad environment for wrestling, because the Rumble just didn't feel to me this year like it had the hype it usually does. I usually get really excited for it no matter how down on WWE I am, and I watch like the old Rumbles to get ready for it. And we had some discussion going in our Discord about that this week, you know, like Carl was really getting into it, and Niall, and they were talking about it. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't get into it this year. I had like zero, there was no momentum for the show at all. And some of it was that it was happening over there, and it just kind of like felt disconnected from the fandom, I felt.
Yeah,
This is the first one I think I've never, you know, at least for quite a while, it's the first one I have not watched a single minute of. And a big part of that is, you know, obviously we've been kind of down on the product for a while, me especially. But, you know, it was on a Saturday afternoon on a
service.
On a service that I'm not going to pay for because I wouldn't give a shit about, you know, I'm not invested in WWE enough to do it. And there's nothing else on that service that I want to, at least Peacock offers me a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
ESPN Plus does not. And I'm not going to do the work or pay the extra money to find the Royal Rumble in the year 2026. I do real quick want to, I found it quite hilarious, Triple H's comments after the show talking about how it's a new era in WWE and it's a passing of the torch. Buddy, you actually have to pass the torch in order to have a new era. The new guys got to win. They just can't have a good showing.
Yeah. That's the problem. They just don't go all in with these younger guys, and they continually lay back on the established. I was talking about this yesterday. It is directly like late stage WCW. When you look at the ages of the guys that are on top, you know, we all were watching in the mid 90s when they did the billionaire Ted skits, you know, 95, I think those started airing, you know, and they were talking about how old those guys were, and they had Macho and the Walker, you know, and all of that. Dude, they were like in their early 40s. Mm-hmm. You know, it's wild when you look at the ages of some of these guys that are out there right now. Like, even Cody's 40, you know. Mm-hmm. Orton, obviously older than that. Punk, a lot older than that. I mean, pretty much the entire top of the card is in their 40s, just like we are. And you're not getting they have young talent. You know, we're not like down on the young talent. They have guys. Obafemi's great. Bron Breakker. Sky's the limit for this guy. But they're not going in all the way and pushing him, I think, which is frustrating. I feel you have to do that on the biggest stages. Just having a good showing doesn't matter. People don't remember that. People remember who won, you know. So Roman winning, I mean, Roman Reigns doesn't need to win to get a WrestleMania title shot.
You know, that's the thing, is that it's not even really about that all these guys are in their 40s. It's about they've been on top for like a decade plus. You know, we've just been watching basically the same match over and over again. You know, there was chatter that they were going to do fucking Roman Reigns and Cody again at WrestleMania, which I still wouldn't be surprised if they do. Boring, freshen things up, you know, do something new. And actually, speaking on that, do you guys have any thoughts on who Roman Reigns will be facing at WrestleMania? Dude, does any of those matches appeal to you?
It seems to me like Punk would be the option. Roman and Punk.
Which we basically just saw at last year's WrestleMania.
That's the only that's what I see happening. What about you, Jesse?
Watch Seth Rollins get healthy in time and they run it back. Because that's what we do. Yes. So yeah, it's and here's the other thing. Roman Reigns now, 2015 and 2026, winning those Royal Rumbles, and those are now going to be looked at as two of probably the eight worst Royal Rumbles in the history of the promotion. You're just forcing a guy down our throats. And, oh, we didn't get into this one. Roman's comments on social media the last couple of days. Been openly crapping on Triple H and just saying, just look at the last 2 years when I've been gone and a part-timer and you've had all this time to get someone new in there and be in the main event. But you got to bring me back to save things again. And he was like half kayfabe, half joking. I think he was probably more so kayfabing than everything else. He was telling the truth. It's absolutely ridiculous. I got to go one more too. Penta came in at 28-0 pop as well. So what was your favorite Penta's doing fantastic in WWE moment? Rey Fénix also got the WWE Andrade pop. I forgot to mention that because... Yeah, you could hear a pin drop there, too. We should get into this one, too. Royce Keyes, Powerhouse Hobbs. Ryan, you can go into the presentation of it. So Royce is the name of his youngest son, and Keyes is the maiden name of his mother. So that's why they renamed him. But the presentation with them actually showing Powerhouse Hobbs on the Titantron first.
Yeah. And also, I want to throw a shout out because we got a super chat that just came in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Figgy. He appreciated our opening thoughts. F. Ice. You are welcome, sir, and appreciate your support. Thanks for tuning in today.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. So I was pretty vocal on Twitter about this. And I understand, like I read like everyone did afterwards, where the name comes from. Royce Keyes. And the nod to his son and his mom. That's fine. That's nice. I appreciate that, you know, from a human perspective. Yes. It doesn't mean it's a good name, though. And my bigger problem is how they do this with guys where they make them change their name. I think it's dumb. You know, Hobbs has been in the business since, like, I believe 2009. He started wrestling literally right after he graduated high school. Wow. And when you've spent years of your career building up a name and then you acknowledge the name on the Titantron, why would you change it? Like, to me, that's weird. Like, some people were in our mentions saying, well, at least they acknowledged who he was. That's true. But why not just keep the name then? you know, like it's weird to me to be like, hey, you know this guy, he's Powerhouse Hobbs. Well, he's not that anymore. Now he's Royce Keyes. Why? You know, like if you have an established name, keep the name. And you know, there's some people that they have allowed to keep their name coming in, like Ray Phoenix, you know, like Ethan Page. And then there's other people where they gave him dumb names like Blake Monroe or Ricky Saints. And I know they want to own everything. But at some point, it's like, you know, also, doesn't it matter when someone has built up a name in the industry and you want to like keep that continuity? So it's a nice homage to his family, but it doesn't mean it's a good name. And the greater point is WWE, you know, having to change everyone's character and what's been working for him. Now, they were smart enough when Cody came back to let him keep using the same character he had built outside of WWE, even using the same theme song that he got outside of WWE, because they recognize it worked. I don't like the name. They acknowledge he was Powerhouse Hobbs. I also thought it was kind of questionable to debut him over there when, you know, that's another problem of doing the show in Saudi Arabia. I didn't know how much of a familiarity the audience would have with him. And they reacted a little bit. AEW is on TV over there. It probably not as big of a response as you would have gotten in the States, you know? So, you know, he was out there for a little while. It wasn't anything to write home about, though, unfortunately. I'm a big fan of Hobbs. We've been very complimentary to him on this show. I told the story about how my girls met him at a Collision about a year and a half ago. He was super nice to him. He's a really hard worker. That Collision show, he was not even on. It was when he was coming back from his injury. And he sat like on a stool by the hard cam over there and watched almost the entire show, just out in the open, just trying to learn, trying to take in the show. He's the only wrestler over there. I appreciate that about him. I don't like that they made him change his name. I'm glad he had some say on the name. We'll see if it works or not. But I just think Powerhouse Hobbs is a great name, and it's unfortunate that they made him change.
Even if you go back to his real name, Will Hobbs, stick with that.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fine. I hated the let's show his name for about 10 seconds where I was like, oh, cool.
They are going to call him that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they take it right off and go into Royce Keyes. And there wasn't really many people that knew who he was from the crowd response either. I thought that was kind of odd. Matt Cardona also thrown out in like 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Number six.
Well, I was also going to say in the name thing, there was a lot of people in our mentions and social like, oh, why do you care? It's just a name. It doesn't matter. What do you mean it's just a name? Your whole character is built on the name. Do you think Steve Austin would have been who he was if they went with Ice Dagger? I mean, the name matters a lot. It matters a lot in wrestling. It's very important. And so you have to get that right. And, you know, again, you had a name that really worked well, and then you acknowledge the name and then you don't go with it. I don't get that. Yeah. Matt Cardona came out, you know, whatever, he's getting paid, I guess. Who else was I going to mention? Oh, there was the other like young guy that maybe they could have made something as the match dragged on and you had all these older dudes in there. I was like, who actually has a chance to win that would be interesting? Well, Jacob Fatu was out there for a long time, and we've been super high on him too. But until, you know, last year, when towards the end of the year, they had him losing. Well, actually, it was the summer, losing to Solo Sikoa, you know, who was just a total non-factor. He's never going to be a main eventer. I've always felt that Jacob Fatu should be booked like Goldberg, just destroying everybody. So when he was out there for quite a long time, I believe he was like the fifth to last guy eliminated. It's like, oh, okay, maybe they'll go with Jacob Fatu and do something exciting in that way. Nope, he got dumped. And our final four that we were left with was Roman, Gunther, Randy Orton, and Logan Paul. So there I was like, all right, I guess Gunther would be my pick. But like, none of that was very inspiring whatsoever. You don't want Logan Paul to win the Royal Rumble, you know? Randy Orton at 47 years old? No. So I thought Roman winning was uninspiring. You know, him throwing the booking under the bus this week, I don't know if that played into it at all, but that was kind of entertaining to me off screen. But yeah, in the end, I just kept thinking about like, here's a guy winning the Rumble 11 years after he first won it. And I'm like drawing the comparisons in my head, be like Hogan winning it in the 2000s, you know, or like Austin winning it around 2010 or so, a little bit before that. He doesn't need it. You know, this is one of those things where you can go all in with a younger guy. So I don't really have any more thoughts other than I just thought it was a a crutch and an easy direction to go rather than, you know, trying to maybe take a little risk and go with a younger guy.
Solo Sikoa at three, by the way, thrown out within a minute or two by Obafemi. At least it was Obafemi.
True.
But still, that just goes to show you where his stock is. Yeah, there it's absolutely ridiculous. It's hard to rebuild these people when they are just knocked down a pedestal. Mm-hmm. I'll go one more and then we can close this. Finn Balor, people were talking about him being in the Rumble. Why would I want him there when he's won two singles matches in the last 2.5 years and they're going to present him as a world title contender to CM Punk at Elimination Chamber in Chicago?
Yeah.
Pepperidge Farm never forgets. Sorry.
All right. The Women's Rumble, I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time on this.
Yeah.
The biggest pop of the night, maybe, was the return of Brie Bella. Yes, you got that iconic theme song, Justin. Brie mode.
Iconic.
So bad. So bad.
Did your daughters pop?
No, they did not. Frankly, they're not really. I mean, like, they know, I think, know who she is. But like when she was wrestling, they weren't even really around or watching. So, I mean, whatever. It's fun to see her, I guess. But the match was like super boring. We were in that Discord talking. It's like, this is not doing it at all. Liv Morgan makes sense as the winner. She's been a constant in the division. She's been one of the top stars. She's usually been solid in Royal Rumbles. And so, you know, I thought her winning was a good pick. Jesse had predicted it on Unplugged. Makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I mean, there wasn't really anything to write home about in this match. To me, I was bored to tears, Jesse.
There were two performances that really stood out to me, and I'm happy. Lash Legend, I think she came in the middle of the match and she eliminated a lot of people.
Five. Yeah.
Charlotte Flair, I think what she eliminated. I mean, Rhea Ripley, I think she took out too. Raquel Rodriguez that took her out.
Yeah. Yep. Ripley eliminated Lash Legend. Yeah.
Yep. She was eliminated by Raquel. And then, yep. Okay. Yeah. She took out Io Sky. There were some people in there. She eliminated the Bellas also. So they're trying to make you take notice to somebody new. She definitely has a good look. Now I just hope she just continues to further the character. And the other one is the obvious one because she was in the final three and arguably my favorite young talent on the WWE roster, and that's Sol Ruka at 10. She was tremendous in the match as well, and I really liked the ending sequence with Liv, Sol, and Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and then outside there.
Yeah, exactly. The two weird ones that did not show up, I was convinced Bianca Belair was going to be there. She did not come in. And then we'll go back to the men's match. Where was Chris Jericho?
He's apparently still under contract to AEW. They must be just dragging out that contract because he's still on the roster page. And that's been a tell with them is, you know, they take him off the roster page the minute that contract's up and he's still on the roster page. So they must just be making him wait. I mean, he's going to end up there. I don't think anybody questions that, but he would have got a big response from that crowd for sure.
I would rather have him debut there or re-debut there than have Powerhouse Hobbs show up in the Royal Rumble.
True. I would agree.
Would have made a lot more sense there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like I mentioned earlier, the lack of response. And some of the NXT people didn't get hardly any response at all. And some did, you know, but some have had some exposure on the main roster here and there. But yeah, Sol Ruka got a really positive response from the crowd. She's one of those people, sky's the limit. On the women's side, they do have a lot of young stars. Mm-hmm. Some of that's by necessity, though, because 20 years ago, they weren't pushing women in the same way. So you obviously you're going to have a younger roster versus like Randy Orton, who's been around since 2002 or whatever. And, you know, he's still there. But yeah, you get down to the last four. So it was Liv, Tiffany Stratton, Sol Ruka, and Raquel Rodriguez. That was your final four. Ripley got eliminated right before that. She would have been the fifth to last. And then Lash Legend was before that. Io Sky was out there for quite a while. I think she got a good amount of time in the Rumble, and that was, I think, pretty predictable going in that, you know, she would get a lot of burn in the match. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I don't really have any thoughts. There was a moment with Asuka and Kairi Sane where they did like an elimination spot with them, which was like one of the weakest looking eliminations I've ever seen in a Rumble, where she's like very casually dumped her out to the outside and they played into the heat of them a little bit as friends. But yeah, no, there wasn't a lot to write home about in this one. A lot of new names, at least, I guess, if that's your thing. But I think right winner, at least. I didn't have as many qualms with the winner here as I did with the men's side, or even like who was left at the end. I thought they did a better job on the women's side with that.
There were a couple of funny things in there too, with Maxine Perez looking like, or Maxine Dupri looking like an astronaut Power Ranger.
Yeah.
The full body suits. That's another Saudi Arabia thing that I hate. Wade Barrett calling Natty Natalia, and Michael Cole goes, "It's not Natalia, Wade. It's Natty." Does anybody really care? The Bellas eliminating Lyra Valkyria and Bayley, I thought was, that was interesting to me. Lyra, someone you would like on the up and up, and I would like to see Bayley in AEW, please.
Same.
So I'm hoping she leaves towards the middle or the tail end of 2026, and that looks to be all that I... Oh, and then when Brie was doing all of her offense and all the crowds chanting, yes, 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 Michael Cole says, "You know who she's paying homage to?" Yeah. And he stops, and I said, "I don't. Can you enlighten us, Michael?"
That was, it was like by proxy, Bryan Danielson was the most over person on the crowd, or on the show, to this crowd, because of the yes chance for Brie. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of entertaining. Yeah, M the Madman mentions Charlotte eliminated Alexa. That's a story. Yeah, they can lean into that for sure. You know, Alexa's great. We've been high on her on this show since 2017 or something. You know, she's always doing good stuff. So anything else here? Let's talk about it, the future for AJ Styles. So AJ lost, predictable. You know, I think we all thought he was going to lose to Gunther going in. And I'll bring Justin into the conversation here, because, you know, now there's talk about, could he end up in AEW? Could it be a short run with AEW, just a few matches? Could he end up full time there? Could he go to New Japan? Could he go to TNA? Maybe he could do some stuff in Mexico. He took off his gloves. Then he went back and put them back on. Then on the post show, Peter Rosenberg almost tried to make AJ look like an asshole if he wrestles again. Where he's like, "Oh, I think AJ's a man of his word. He's going to be done here." It was like they were going out of their way on the post show to make it seem like, boy, if this guy wrestled this again, he's a real traitor to you fans, which is really odd. Justin, do you want to see AJ Styles wrestle again? And do you want to see him in any of those places I listed?
I think there's some interesting matchups that he could have in AEW. I've got no interest in a TNA run. I thought somewhere he said post show AJ that he was done, that he didn't want to, you know, keep going and possibly be a shell of himself. He wanted to kind of go out on top. I guess I didn't hear about the Rosenberg part of it. What a shithead he is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, there are some very intriguing matchups he could have in AEW. I think another big match against Kenny Omega would be interesting. Something against someone younger, like a Kyle Fletcher, could be really good. I mean, there is a lot of intriguing stuff there. He'd certainly be more interesting to me than Tommaso Ciampa in AEW. But it would certainly freshen things up for AJ, who's had an incredibly stale, 5 years in WWE. Truly has not been interesting until this last half of the year. But if I had to bet, I would say he's done. But yeah, there are some matches in AEW I would like to see.
I'll throw Jess here in a sec, but the Rosenberg quote I have in front of me. So this is what Rosenberg said on the post show. This is a quote. "So just to be clear, because I know AJ went back into the ring. He went up there, took in a second round of applause. I spoke to AJ. It's very much the end. This is it for AJ Styles. He is not the kind of guy who goes back on his word when he said he's having a match with his career on the line." That's just part of it. I think he will wrestle again. I think there's money to be made with a handful of AEW matches. I don't think he's going to end up there full time and be like wrestling every week, but I think he's a guy who will wrestle a handful of matches. Like the Ospreay match would be huge. Omega, you know, that kind of thing. You mentioned, you know, Fletcher would be a cool match for him. I just think that there's meat on the bone for that. I don't want to see him there full time, but I do want to see him there in spurts. I think that that would be worth doing. A lot of the AEW stars were outspoken on social yesterday about him. I think Ospreay put out a tweet that all it said was phenomenal. Now, you could read that as just a tribute to him, but you know, I think that I think it makes a lot of sense for him to work a handful of matches now that he has, assumingly, the freedom to do so. But I don't think it would be a full time kind of thing. Jesse.
And with Will, AJ was his inspiration to get started in the pro wrestling business. He's one of the few self-professed TNA fans from the get-go. So I thought that was, yeah, I mean, he would like to face him. As long as Tony Khan doesn't rearrange AEW booking for this guy, mm-hmm. you can get him in there for a handful of matches and call it good. You don't want to do what WWE did with John Cena and like put a full focus on him for the full year and delay a lot of the younger talents, as we've seen with Oba and all that too. So yeah, a few matches in here and there would be good. I do have to fire this quote off from a author, John Lister. He did an ECW book back in the mid 90s. This is effing tremendous. He says, "I see the guy who lost to Gunther, never gave up. Unlike the guy who sold shirts saying never give up and then gave up."
Yeah, I mean, he sold that way better than John Cena, you know. That finish. So this is the one thing on the show that is, you know, definitely worth going out of your time to see. It was a very good match. I'll have my grades up for patrons later today.
He's looked good these last 3 months, I think. I want to go back and watch his match versus Shinsuke Nakamura at Saturday night's main event. I have heard positive things about it. The one in rare time where Nakamura had his working boots on.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool just to see him flash it back one last time. And then I just lost my train of thought. I was going to make a joke. Oh, well, can't do it.
Let us know if it comes back to you.
Yeah. AJ could definitely be that special attraction. Basically, just treat him like they did Sting in AEW.
Yeah. You know, I just think it's going to be too enticing for him as an athlete to like not want to work a match with Ospreay, to not want to come in and maybe do something with Omega, whose career is wrapping up, you know, especially like on a big stage, you know, at a Wembley or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think we will see him again. I just think it'll be limited, but I think that's how it should be. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, the only other thing on here was Drew McIntyre beating Sami Zayn. I don't really have any thoughts on that match. You know, I thought, you know, maybe if they're wanting to shake the boat, they could put the title on Sami Zayn. He's had a couple moments in his career where you could make that case, especially Elimination Chamber a couple years ago up there in Montreal. They've never gone in on that, and I just really don't have any confidence that they would ever go all in with Sami Zayn at this point. He's been around forever. And he ended up looking like a putz again in Saudi Arabia. So, you know, it was a pretty much a nothing match. I was not into this one much at all, Jesse.
It's going to look lesser than anyway because of, as I've stated numerous times, Drew McIntyre's inability to defeat anybody above him without interference, especially 5 shots at this title. That title's looking inferior. I think it's not going to look that good going into WrestleMania as it is. I got to poke fun at people on social media because it's always fun to do it. Your younger fans that call Sami Zayn Sammy Hogan is like one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. He's 0-12 against Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Sammy Hogan.
You know... We like Drew a lot too, but his booking has been so bad that it's just hard to take him as the champion, right? Which was another reason why it's like, you know, if you want to put the title in Sami Zayn, it's certainly believable that he would beat Drew McIntyre right now. You're right. It does appear lesser than right now, which is why I think Roman's going to be going after Punk. And, you know, that's a much bigger marquee match anyways. And, you know, they could throw a wrench into this and do something at Elimination Chamber and change the whole trajectory anyways. But that title picture is pretty dire over there. Pretty dire. I'm not super interested in it. I mean, the whole WWE booking the last several months, Hunter is getting criticized like crazy, and it is well-deserved. Well-deserved. They got to get this thing right because things are dying right now.
Yeah, Jey Uso takes 2 full minutes to get into the ring, and then Roman dispatches him in like 3 minutes, and the crowd goes absolutely ballistic. It was so kind of fun to see, but just goes to show you that he is an entrance merchant. I'm nervous that Trick Williams is going to become an entrance merchant too.
I was joking on the Bleach Report stream about that. Like, oh, is he going to start the entrance again mid-match? And sure enough, they tried to do it, but then he got hit by Roman. And yeah, that's pretty much the Rumble, you guys. It was four matches, the two big ones and the two singles matches. That was it. So you can let us know your thoughts in the comments on this video. You can choose the email toprovnation@gmail.com is the way to get a hold of us. Real quickly here, before we wrap, Tommaso Ciampa, Justin, you know, you mentioned him coming into AEW, and he became the TNT champion on Collision last night, defeating Briscoe. I actually haven't had a chance to watch the match yet, but I saw positive reviews of it. And people were very up and down on Ciampa coming in. Justin, you mentioned, you know, maybe not so excited about it. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, somebody in our Discord asked me how I felt about it, and it was a zero for me. Like, I mean, we talked about AJ Styles being dull for 5 years. Holy shit, Tommaso Ciampa has basically been non-existent in my world. Now, having said that, I did watch some wrestling yesterday. It was not the Royal Rumble, but I did watch Collision, and Ciampa looked really good. He looked really, really good. I know there's concerns about, can his body hold up? I mean, he is a good wrestler. And I really do wonder if he has just been kind of on cruise control, checked out for the past 5 years, not been able to do anything truly interesting. And, if we get a fully engaged Ciampa in AEW, then I am a little curious. And I'm certainly stunned that he's already the TNT champion. I watched that match. It was really good. Now, not the greatest litmus test of where Ciampa is at, because Mark Briscoe, I've said many times, is probably the best in-ring guy in the world right now. He can get a great match out of anybody. So I am curious to see how things are going forward. I will say the TNT championship has never felt more entrenched in the mid-card than it does right now, which is not a great look.
Thank you to John Hope for the super chat. It says Swerve Andrade, fantastic. So was Ciampa's TNT match. Yep. I mean, you got a really motivated Andrade right now. He left, went back to WWE, saw the grass wasn't greener, came back, and he is super engaged right now too. Yeah, it's one of these things where when he's coming over, he's not going to be a main eventer.
No.
Not everyone needs to be a main eventer, though. I think, if you're strengthening the work rate in the mid-card and you just got a ton of dudes that can make the TNT title, that work rate title, I have no problem with that. You know, if Ciampa to me too has been a guy who I haven't really paid much attention to since like 2019, probably. Mm-hmm. It's not all his fault. You know, it's the booking that they dragged on that Gargano feud way too long after they had the outstanding first match. I'm open to seeing what he can do. The theme song is terrific. Presentation's been really good so far. And, I think as a mid-card work rate guy, he's totally fine there. So I didn't hate the signing. And I'm looking forward to checking out the match here later today because I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But, yeah, Chris mentioned in the chat, Black and Gold fans are watching AEW now. Yeah.
And
they have been
since 2019.
Yeah.
You saw a lot of people move over from NXT to AEW or watching both at the same time when NXT was still somewhat interesting. Yeah, but Triple H took away, when he got to the main roster, what made him somewhat special in NXT, and that is his ability to talk and give him a really good character to run with. He just felt very vanilla for the last 6 years on the main roster, and they've already given him two promo segments on Dynamite and Collision, and he delivered. I mean, he has the ability to deliver when you give him something interesting. Mm-hmm. There are concerns about his body, especially in AEW, when there's a lot more demand to work in that ring than there is in the WWE. So there's always going to be concerns about him. One thing you cannot say is that the guy is in bad shape, because as I stated, and I've seen it for the last 2 years, I actually know the nutritionist that works with Ciampa. That guy looks fantastic, and he's 40 years old, and he's as lean as he's ever been in years. So, yeah, I'm a very motivated Tommaso Ciampa, much like Andrade. I did watch that match this morning right before we got on the air, Swerve and Andrade. Highly recommend going back to watch it if you haven't. seeing those two guys get a new lease on life, and let's just hope that they continue to go forward with it. And Tony Khan books him appropriately. I guess that's really all that matters. So do I see Ciampa as a championship level entertainer? No, I don't. But again, maybe that international TNT, really good filler, and just gives a lot of people someone that they have enjoyed over the last 15 years with his Sicilian killer gimmick as well in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I mean, we see these AEW pay-per-views that are always stacked, and this is one of the reasons why they can keep you engaged in a show for 4 hours, because the middle of the card is so strong. So bringing in more guys that can work, I mean, I have no problem with that. Now, again, he's not going to be a main event guy. He's not supposed to be a main event guy. You know, I've seen people, I responded to one of them on our Twitter page last night, where they're talking about, I checked who has all the men's championships in AEW, and five of these guys are 37 or older. But, you know, the thing is, main event scene versus mid-card. I don't have any problems with older dudes working for mid-card titles like a Ciampa, especially when, you know, it's just supposed to be a work rate title. It's not the future of the company. That's where the big difference is between WWE and AEW, to what we were talking about earlier with WWE's top of the card being so old right now and this inability to elevate guys into the main event scene. When you look at who have the top titles and you look at what I would say are kind of like the solid main event guys surrounding those titles, when you look at AEW, you have MJF, who's 29 years old, as their world champion. And then you look at kind of the top tier workers who could potentially step in and challenge for the world title. Hangman, 34. Swerve, 35. Osprey, 32. Omega's doing a last run thing. He's 42. Fletcher, 27. Darby, 33. Moxley here and there, 40. Okada, 38. Overall, that's a really young top of the card. And in WWE, you got champions that are 47 and Punk, McIntyre, who's 40. And the top of the card is Roman, who's 40, Cody, who's 40, Gunther, who's 38, Orton, who's 45, Brock, who's 48, Seth, who's 39. And then possibly Braun could get there. He's 28. You know, he's one of those kind of like shining lights if they do elevate him properly. There's just no comparison. You can't make quips about, oh, here comes Tommaso Ciampa. He's 40 years old. Yeah, but he's not being brought in to be at the top of the card. That's different than bringing in Brock Lesnar to be in the world title picture at 48 years old, or Orton hanging around at 45. It's just a totally different booking scenario. And that's where WWE is having problems. And that's why they got to elevate Obafemi. And that's why they got to elevate Bron Breakker to kind of shake things up a little bit.
Kenosuke Takeshita, 32 years old, too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Takeshita, another guy who could be in that mix. So, yeah. I mean, I think if you're looking for younger talent, there's no question AEW is where it's at. They're getting the push over there. So our next flagship will probably concentrate more heavily on AEW so that we can keep Justin sane with us and keep him on the show. So you can look for that, you know, next week, and we'll probably be breaking down what's been happening on TV. But we appreciate everybody for hanging with us as we had, you know, kind of this little lapse in our show the last few months with things getting kind of crazy and a lot going on in our worlds. But we are planning on being back with you now weekly, and also TRN Classics. Got a little different flavor coming at you over on the Patreon side. It's not an old show we're going to be reviewing next. It's a documentary, Hitman Hart Wrestling with Shadows. We will be reviewing that on Top Rope Nation Classics for patrons. So if you want access, link in the broadcast description, best way to support our show. Make sure you're subscribed here on YouTube. Get the notification bell on, so every time we go live, you don't miss us. Guys, any parting words?
Come on, you Spurs. I got to watch them get their asses beat by Man City. I got to go.
Yeah, Justin's got a heart out here. Jesse?
15 seconds. I got an unplugged dropping this week. We're going to cover John Cena versus AJ Styles from the 2017 Royal Rumble. I think it was the third installment. So, and it's very pertinent. It's what's going on right now with one of them fully retired, the other one possibly retired.
If you go way back into the TRN archives, you can find probably our review of that show in 2017. You have to scroll back a ways, but we were doing this show back then. So you could also compliment Jesse's review by going back and seeing what we said in the moment. That would be interesting as well. But yeah, Jesse's been doing a 52-week match project this year. So every week, it's a classic match that happened during that calendar week. So definitely well worth your time to check out over on the Patreon side. Guys, we've had a... We've definitely had a lot of viewers this morning, which has been really cool to see. We've had a lively chat, more people watching live than we usually have.
Thank you.
And so appreciate all of you guys. Chris saying, thanks for the episode. The Driftless is thinking about our Minnesota neighbors. F Ice. Always appreciate you, Chris, longtime supporter of this show. And yeah, that's it. I think we're going to roll. This has been episode 407, Top Rope Nation. We will see you all next weekend. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.
Peace.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that, cools up to 8 times faster, and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.